Gloria in excelsis Deo, glory be to God on high. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today in Bethlehem of Galilee, upon a single humble spot, in a stone cave, stands one of the oldest continuously functioning churches in the world. Built in the year 330, it hallows the place where Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. Just a few short years after Christianity became legal under the Emperor Constantine, the sacred place, which was known to all by tradition, was marked by the construction of a building in which constant contemplation, sacrament, prayer, worship, songs, and all other forms of adoration have hallowed the incarnation of our Lord without cease. The great church, which has stood through the fall of the Roman Empire, through crusades and countless other tumults, bears the marks of every age and draws the special attention of the world today, even though it is mostly vacant. But as that church was being built, just a few miles away, one of the greatest hymnologists of the ancient world was overcome with the significance of the nativity of Christ that was being surrounded by structures of stone and tile and wood and precious metal rivaling the ancient temple of Jerusalem. Ephraim the Syrian, who lived at the time that the church was constructed, wrote dozens of hymns about the nativity, inspired by awe as he, living in the land of the scriptures, studied the Old Testament and found Christ in every verse. Tonight, on the eve of the most glorious feast day of Christmas, we will consider a few lines from one of his nativity hymns. In this hymn, we'll hear the words of ones whose eyes were opened to the inexhaustible well of prophecy concerning the incarnation of our King. Written perhaps even as the Church of the Nativity was being constructed just a few miles from his home, Ephraim once wrote that the season of Christmastide was like a treasure house from which observant Christians should each be taking away at least something. This is one of my favorite lines of his for this season. It is a fool, he says, who emerges from the season of Christmastide empty-handed. Garland the doorway of your heart tonight and take something into yourself from these ancient words. Whatever knowledge of the Old Testament you have, dust it off and try to catch as much as you can. Take something with you from this feast, this treasure that's spread before you. Ephraim writes these words in the second half of his hymn. Pray for me, my friends, that I may be strengthened once more to set forth their qualities again in another account as much as I am able. Who is able to glorify the true Son who rises for us, whom just men yearned to see in their lifetimes? Adam anticipated him, who is the Lord of the cherubim, and was able to have him enter and dwell near the boughs of the tree of life. Abel yearned for him to come in his days, so that instead of the lamb he sacrificed, he might see the Lamb of God. Eve looked for him, for the shame of women was great, but he would be able to clothe them not in leaves, but rather in the glory that they had shed. The symbol of the tower that many built envisages the one who would come down and build upon the earth a tower that goes up to heaven truly. Even the type of the ark of animals envisages our Lord, who would build the holy church in which souls would take refuge like an ark. In the days of Peleg, the earth was divided into 70 tongues. He anticipated that one who would divide the earth by tongues for his apostles. The earth that the flood drowned called her Lord silently. He came down and opened baptism, by which people were drawn out to heaven. Seth and Enosh and Kenan were named sons of God. They anticipated the sons of God, for they were brothers to him in mercy. Slightly less than 1,000 years, Methuselah lived. He anticipated the Son who gives eternal life as an inheritance. For their sake, by a hidden symbol, grace was asking their Lord to come in their lifetimes to fill their needs. For it is the Holy Spirit who, for their sake, by quiet contemplation in them, stirs up to see her the Savior for whom they yearned. The soul of just men perceived the Son, the medicine of life, and she eagerly desired that in her days he would come and she would taste his sweetness. Enoch yearned for him. And without having seen the Son on earth, he increased his faith and was made righteous so that he ascended to see him in heaven. Who will refuse grace? For this gift that the ancients did not acquire, even with great effort, has come freely to the people of today. Serene is the night on which shines forth the Serene One who came to give us serenity. Do not allow anything to disturb or enter into your watch. Let the path of the ear be cleared. Let the sight of the eye be chastened. Let the contemplation of the heart be sanctified. Let the speech of the mouth be purified. Mary today has hidden in us the leaven from the house of Abraham. Let us therefore love the poor as Abraham loved the needy. Today she has cast rennet into us from the house of David, the compassionate one. Let man have mercy on his persecutor as the son of Jesse had on Saul. The sweet salt of the prophets today is scattered among the peoples. Let us acquire by it a new taste by which the former people would lose its flavor. On this day of redemption, let us speak a speech of interpretation. Let us not speak superfluous words, lest we be superfluous. This is the night of reconciliation. Let us be neither wrathful nor gloomy on it. On this all-peaceful night, let us neither be menacing nor boisterous. This is the night of the Sweet One. Let us be on it neither bitter nor harsh. On this night of the Humble One, let us be neither proud nor haughty. On this day of forgiveness, let us not avenge our offenses. On this day of rejoicings, let us not share sorrows. On this sweet day, let us not be vehement. On this calm day, let us not be quick-tempered. On this day on which God came into the presence of sinners, let not the just man exalt himself in his mind over the sinner. On this day on which the Lord of all came among servants, let the Lord also bow down to their servants lovingly. On this day, when the rich one was made poor for our sake, let the rich man also make the poor man a sharer at his table. On this day, a gift came out to us without our asking for it. Let us then give alms to those who cry out and beg from us. This is the day when the high gate opened to us for our prayers. Let also open the gates to the seekers who have stayed but sought forgiveness. This Lord of natures today was transformed contrary to his nature. It is not too difficult for us also to overthrow our evil will. Bound is the body by its nature, for it cannot grow larger or smaller, but powerful is the will, for it may grow to all sizes. Today, the deity imprinted itself on humanity so that humanity might also be cut into the seal of divinity. In that little cave in Bethlehem, on that silent night, a child was born, a humble event as could ever be. Angels hailed his coming as they themselves were the last prophecy and the final word of 10,000 prophecies pointing to that manger, sealing them all with these words that we in this season and forevermore will sing, extolling the meaning of all these things together, a theme that an obscure monk from Syria 1,700 years ago tried again and again to draw the world's attention to. Jesus Christ is born in Bethlehem. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory be to God in the highest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.